All right, take it away, Nate.
Okay, welcome back to All Good in the Brotherhood. We are joined today by a special friend. Wait, hold on. Is this probably picking me up?
Yes, it okay. is, yeah.
We're joined by a very special friend, Vince Lombardi.
The Vince Lombardi.
The Vince Lombardi, not to be mistaken with the Vince Lombardi of football fame.
No.
This is the Vince Lombardi of just...
Of fame.
Fame. Fame yes. itself.
Yeah. Vince. Mm. We are also recording right now in Juneau, Alaska.
That's pretty cool.
It completely is forgot cool. about that, yeah.
Yeah. We're up here enjoying a retreat, pilgrimage, fun adventure week sort of service for like a day. And we're staying right now at the National Shrine of St. Therese in Juneau, just outside sick. Of Juneau. So we've done some baller things. We won't spend a lot of time talking about that. But the reason why all three of us are here together is Vince graduated from St. Vincent. Congratulations. And this is a St. Vincent trip. And then Nate just got invited to bum out with us for the week.
Exactly.
So
Hardly bumming. We're doing some pretty fun activities. But, but we are chilling, yeah.
And Nate and Vince did... meet actually like a year and a half ago yeah. when we all also were on another trip
through St. Vincent.
Yes, in Rome.
Yeah.
So
we were on the footsteps of St. Benedict Retreat, which is basically this discernment retreat for the Benedictines in all the original Benedictine monasteries. And it was really cool getting to meet Vince there, but now we're getting to hang out a second time. So
heck yeah, bro.
And so. I guess we're going to talk about Vince's philosophy on life. Which I'm not familiar with, so...
It's not necessarily philosophy. It's a philosophy of life, right?
Okay. Or
like an yeah. aspect of philosophy. It's not his encompassing philosophy of life.
Okay.
That's a few more years before I'm
it's
there.
A holistic, all-encompassing structure. No, it's not.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like an approach to a specific thing.
Fair enough. Anyway, whatever this is, they've talked about it before. I haven't actually been exposed to it yet, so this is my first time... Hearing, could you explain to me...
Oh, first exposure. That, like, even makes it even better.
Yes. I mean, I've heard absolutely. You use the term pizza cake, which apparently that's the title or the
yes.
the proper term
the
for
philosophy
this philosophy.
Of pizza cake.
Okay, so could you explain to me the philosophy of pizza cake in a nutshell?
Absolutely.
Not in a nutshell. We're here for a long haul.
Okay.
That's true. This is
could you give me the entire...
what is pizza cake? Where does it come from? All that jazz.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll give you... We'll see which version of the pitch ends up coming out. But, yeah, so hello, everyone. Pizza cake is, as it might sound, a food, but it's more than a food. And not to be confused with a piece of cake, just to get that off the bat, because if you slur your words enough and people don't usually say pizza cake, so people are like, piece of cake? This is pizza cake.
So pizza, as in the Italian food, plus cake.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Is that hyphenated?
Ideally chocolate cake, right?
Ideally chocolate cake. That's the base form. So
the base form, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is base, also.
So, pizza cake is basically originated one day, I guess it were about 3 years ago at this point. I was going to dinner in the dining hall with some friends, and I come in with this plate of food. And there's a piece of pizza and a piece of cake on this plate.
That's what you were eating. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they were on... Yes. Okay, go ahead.
And they were kind of snuggling up against each other. And someone was like, are you going to eat pizza cake or something? And I said, you know what? I am. And I stacked a piece of cake on top of the piece of
You're
pizza.
You're kidding me. That's disgusting.
Right.
Okay,
wait.
Actually...
And then...
Okay, one thing I've picked up about Vince is you have pretty unique taste in food. So just our quick side tangent... This morning, you were eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch with OJ instead of milk.
That's true.
How was that?
I love that. I've been doing that since high school when I would get the breakfast at school and we get the Cinnamon Toast Crunch bar, which I think is better with orange juice than the actual regular cereal for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Tim told me to put orange juice in the Cheez-Its after that, which
I think
thought would
crazy.
Taste horrible.
Oh my gosh, you had it with the Cheez-Its?
Yeah, Cheez-Its, I never thought of them like cereal before, but
that's
they actually,
disgusting.
when they're in a bowl
this
with liquid,
wild.
They look like
You don't think
about
them cereal because they're not supposed to be thought of as cereal. They're cheese. They're made out of cheese.
Do people eat anything for cereal? Like, the variety of things that classify as cereal these days?
They're all generally the sweet category.
That's true.
Cheese doesn't normally enter cereal bowls. But go on, sorry.
Listen, podcaster, your medium food is mine.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, you're in the cafeteria.
So, yeah, they're snuggling up against each other. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I thought it was going to taste horrible. I just did it to mess with them because I love when people make a revolting face at me from time to time.
Yeah.
But But I started eating it with a fork and knife, and to my surprise, I actually liked it. And so...
Oh my gosh.
From then on, throughout the rest of that semester, periodically I would get pizza cake again on my plate with full intentionality. Mostly just to mess with people, but again, I had developed a taste for it and was...
Sorry, I have to ask, when you say you liked it, do you mean you were just able to choke it down without vomiting? Or do you mean the pizza actually added to the cake, or the cake actually added to the pizza? Like, was it actually a good meal? Because I'm having a hard time imagining those flavors going together.
That's an important question. I think it helps when you start thinking about, like, the sweet and the salty and stuff like that. But it's one of those... most of the time, I don't go, oh, I'm craving pizza cake right now.
Yeah.
But it was certainly far from just choking it down.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, depending on the combo, like what pizza and what cake you're using, which, the base level was plain pizza and chocolate cake.
Okay.
Depending on which you're using, I might enjoy it as much as pizza or cake on their own.
Okay.
But.
That's so wild. Bizarre. That's insane.
Yeah.
I love that.
So keep going. How did this unfold then?
So this happened, and then I just kept eating pizza cake. And then the moment that really made me start thinking a little bit differently was this friend of mine said, okay, you've been doing this for a while. I got to try pizza cake myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes for it, and it turns out he likes it too.
Wow.
And we were both surprised about this. And then from then on, he had a bit more of an adventuresome spirit in the dining hall, and I was just like, this is really interesting, and there's something, a special moment when someone tries something new with you, I think. I imagine you can relate to that.
Yeah.
And so from there, I had several more different experiences like that over the next year-ish that really made me start... People reacted to this differently than a lot of other things in my life. You know, I'm always egging people on to do dumb or weird things. And often if it's just like begrudging, they do it, or like, yeah, that was fun, but I don't need to do that again or something. Mm-hmm. But there was something different about this. And so pull back from pizza cake for a moment. I guess at this time in my life, there are two really big ideas that started coming to my mind after working in a Christian summer camp a couple summers ago. The one from that was... trying to be radically open to God. My mission that I set for myself at that point is, if something isn't sinful, I'm not going to say no to it. I might say not right now, but I'm not going to say never.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to say not right now, there's going to be a good reason for it.
Okay.
And it's not just going to be, well, I don't want to do that right now. At the same time, I started... Before I really got into the pizza cake thing, I started thinking about this idea in my head that I called food discipleship, which is basically this idea...
Food discipleship.
Yeah.
Okay.
With learning transfer, that my hope is that if people are more open to new experiences in food, they'll be more open to new experiences in other areas of their lives, mm-hmm. Ideally in their faith.
Real quick question. So
for sure.
You were a psych major, right?
Yeah.
So you graduated, so I'm guessing some of these themes are related to that. What is learning transfer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of psych things I'm trying to pull into this. And so much of this up until the past few months has been very anecdotal and things like that. But I'm increasingly reading research and trying to pull things together as I'm working on these ideas. But learning transfer is basically the idea of you might learn something in one domain, but does that apply when you go somewhere else? It could be as simple as we're having this conversation in this room and I'm telling you about pizza cake. If we go out in the lake, will you still remember everything I said, and will it still make sense to you? Up to, right, we're going to talk about the idea of openness in food, and will that same idea make sense to you, and will you be able to apply it when we talk about faith?
Right. That's really interesting, because I think it's very easy to kind of compartmentalize our lives, where, like, you learn certain messages in one domain, and then you don't try to find any application of that in another domain. You just kind of, like, segment them. But it's funny because I heard a comedian commenting on this one time, the idea of learning transfer with, he was talking about sports. So he was saying, like, you know, when you're a kid and you play, like, Little League baseball, one of the things they always say is, like, you know, when you're trying to, like, kind of market it to parents as a thing to get their kids involved in, they always say, like, you know, it teaches teamwork, it lets the kids have fun, and it will teach them life lessons that they'll use later. Like, we probably all heard that was some kind of kid sports program. And he's like, that's not actually true, because he said, what if, like, years down the road, because he worked at some point, this comedian worked at a car rental company, and he's saying, what if years down the road, you know, I took one of our really expensive cars off the lot, took it for a crazy spin, and got it, like, got maybe in an accident, but he had a good time. He's like, well, guess what? The lesson I learned in Little League that they always say at, like, games is, like, it's not about, like, the outcome. It's that what's important is that you had a good time. Like, that's one of the lessons you learn in Little League. And he's saying, like, clearly the learning transfer from that life lesson in Little League doesn't translate to, you know, years down the road. He was being funny. The way he presented it was very funny. But the point being, like, it seems sometimes like certain lessons we learn in one domain don't transfer very easily to a different domain.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the bigger challenges I face is, we'll get into more about what I'm doing with this now, but how do I get people to do that? Because I think the goal of a person living a full and complete life would be, in a lot of respects, to unify the different areas of their life. And it's not oh, I'm this person when I'm here and I'm this person there. It's like, no, I love all of these things no matter where I go. And I present a consistent disposition and tendency toward virtues and different things like that wherever I go. And it's not, you know, a lot of that, I think, is tearing off different masks that we put on, and also just being intentional. Some people are, you know, deliberately separating parts of their lives, but some people are just very unintentional. And so I think it's that bringing in, you know, we're climbing that mountain today. Total blast, by the way.
Yeah. We went on a hike today that at some points just felt like an uphill, or not just an uphill, like an actual rock climbing, because it was, the incline was very steep. Just for our listeners,
yeah.
It was brutal. Listeners. I expected it to be like, when they said we were going to go on a hike, I thought it was going to be chill. That was not chill.
Yeah, it was slightly undersold. I was joking with John Paul, who I was hiking with, and I was like, yeah. When Father Max was like, oh, you'll just go on a nice hike today, I was like, yeah. I think I realized that, like, with his experience of only going part of the way, it is a nice hike. But if you get a little farther than that. So it's going
when up. You actually hit the slope, that's when it becomes not.
But
so
it was
nice.
Great. It was so cool being up there.
It was epic.
And then running down, it I ran gorgeous. Down. I ran down by myself. No, just kidding. Like, I almost ate it several times.
Yeah,
but it was.
You were going on the path, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We went off the path on our way downhill, and so we were just kind of slipping and sliding down the mountainside. It was awesome. But
hey. It's a crazy experience. You gotta try, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So with the pizza cake idea, is it kind of, I'm getting the sense, is it kind of just a mentality of openness to new experiences?
That's part of it.
Okay.
That's part of it. So, yeah. I'll lay it out like this. So I have this idea that I do want to start bringing into intentional discipleship with this. That I'm going to write out some stages and try practicing them on people and doing some research, especially just because people start out at different places and what they're able to do and able to learn and how they can grow and stuff. And
right.
But I think at the lowest level of pizza cake is, okay, our goal is to get someone to such a place that maybe you invite them to a dinner party and they're a better guest and they're going to actually eat everything on their plate and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think the highest level goes all the way up to complete and radical openness to God's will. And more on that in a moment. But because really what it's about, the pizza cake whole idea is center in on this thing that I call the pizza cake moment.
The pizza cake moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is the moment in which you're presented with something uncomfortable and you make a certain choice about it. I'm distinguishing these into two different things, the positive pizza cake moment and the negative pizza cake moment. In a sense, I guess it's a more of a philosophical sense, like presence or absence.
Not necessarily good or bad, just
A positive pizza cake moment would be when you're faced with something uncomfortable. Maybe it's filming this podcast. I've never been on a podcast before. And I choose to do it anyway.
Well, low pressure, because you went to St. Vincent, and probably most of our listeners are from St. Vincent, so you're already friends with all the audience, but keep going, sorry.
But yeah, and so, but choosing to do it anyway would be a positive pizza cake moment.
Right.
And then, on the other hand, there's a negative pizza cake moment where maybe the uncomfortable thing you're faced with is someone expecting you to lie.
Mm.
Obviously, you want to say no to that.
Right.
And And so that would be a negative pizza cake.
Oh, you're saying negative in the sense that the uncomfortable thing that you need to do is refrain from some activity.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
And so this idea of the pizza cake moment, I think, is essential to all of this because it's that practical application and not just talking about all these random things of, oh, I'm going to learn, I'm going to do something new. And so it's really all about what's uncomfortable. This started out as this idea of me saying, if something is uncomfortable but not sinful, I'm going to do it.
I love that, by the way.
Thank you. And because I think we're such small people. Mm-hmm. So many ways, and there's really good ways to be small, right? I mean, we're here at the Shrine of Saint Therese, talking about that sense of smallness. Mm-hmm. But this is not Saint Therese's kind of smallness that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the smallness insofar as the potential that we have versus where our actuality is,
right?
And how little of who we're called to be that we're living into.
Yeah.
And I'm just so frustrated and fired up by that on a daily basis. Yeah. I think.
Real quick, have you heard of the vice of pusillanimity? It's a very wordy.
I believe Aristotle talks about that.
He does.
But please refresh me.
Well, so in contrast to it, there's a virtue of magnanimity, which just basically means great soulness. So it's having like a big soul, like kind of a big spirit that's, you know, ordered towards doing great things. And then there's, it's kind of hard to say quickly, pusillanimity, which just means small soulness, which I think is kind of along the lines of what you're getting at, which is this spirit that's closed in on itself. It doesn't strive to have new experiences or achieve great things or seek out great virtue. It's just kind of content to resign itself to mediocrity, right?
Yeah.
I think our culture is fixated on mediocrity, almost like it's like we've become enslaved to it. So
I would even say in some ways, I don't know about fixated, just numb to anything beyond mediocrity.
Yeah.
That we're not, at least in a lot of things, we're not invited to like to do great things. It's almost like we're invited to like, oh, see this great thing, watch this great thing, have this great thing on your phone.
Yeah. We take in great content,
but
we don't do that.
Don't do it. Or, like, there's so many people, you know, like streamers on like Twitch, YouTube, all TikTok, all these things. Like, let's watch someone else have the experience for us.
That's true.
Instead of actually maybe the going through the uncomfortable like stages needed to do that. Or admit, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, maybe I'll grow to figure it out.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that, but it doesn't, like, doing hard things or doing new things, I would even, like, yeah, enslaved maybe is the word, but I just think just, like, we've lost the creativity to even think about doing it.
Yeah, you're right.
I
think that's right.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a really big thing for me. I was just looking at something I wrote a while ago that I kind of forgot about this, but yeah, that one of the core ideas in this of the piece of cake is a movement of freedom.
Hmm.
Freedom in that sense, I think you talked about this on an episode not too long ago, but that to do what you ought to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're so often, like you're saying, maybe even just blind to it because we're so busy just doing whatever we're doing, trying to fit in or something like that.
Yeah.
Where pizza cake and I said a hint to you before the episode about absurdity, but that's an area where I think it's really fun to just practice engaging discomfort. Whether that's, you know, a little over a year ago, I was completely bald because, one, I just kind of got it stuck in my head a few years ago and really wanted to know what it was like. But on the other hand, it was a public symbol in my head of this was really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I've never been bald.
That's crazy. You just shaved your head?
Yeah.
He had a big...
I didn't just shave my head. Yeah. I had, like, 20 people shaving my head.
He was at, like, a party. Like, the Vince, like, Lombardi shaves his head thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Vince is an icon.
The things that he gets people excited about are just, like, unreal to me.
He's truly influential. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a big symbol in my head, and all these people are like, why'd you do that? And that's like, well, it was uncomfortable, and so I wanted to do it, and I think you should think about something similar in your own life. Because I was very self-conscious about it at first, and just like, what the heck? And new things to navigate. I knew I had a mole on my head right here, and I was like, I don't know how big it is. Is that going to look really weird?
Right. That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, that's insane. As somebody with, like, you have a good head of curly hair now, it's like, I'm trying to just imagine you bald. It's like, that's a very, like, self-exposing kind of act. But it's just interesting that you decided to seek it out specifically because the thought made you uncomfortable.
Yes, that was when I realized how uncomfortable I was, that was the moment when I knew I needed to do it.
Right. And that was a moment of freedom, you're saying, because it was kind of just breaking out of, like, the kind of the enslavement of just doing, like, your normal routine or, like, what, just kind of the normal set of things that you would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was imposing. I mean, it's all right. Like, again, obedience is wonderful, and that's something we talk about a lot in tradition. Go back to their tradition episode, by the way.
Thank you. Shameless plug from one of our members, a guest. Let's go.
Did he listen to our podcast? It's wild.
It's like one of seven people.
He is a stan. It was funny. Sorry, we were talking yesterday, and our podcast came up at one point. We were with a group of people here on the retreat we're on, and I guess most of them listened to it. And somebody asked a question about our podcast, and I didn't know the answer to it, but he did. I just thought it was so funny. He like knew the exact episode number we're currently on and stuff like that. It's wild. So thank you for your faithful.
Yeah, Vince, like, periodically, because I, like, most of the times when I submit, like, the episode, like, descriptions and, like, upload the episodes, it's, like, 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and I'm just, like, trying to, like, grind it out just so that there's content up when midnight strikes, and he will, like, proofread our little descriptions or, like, little things in text back and be like, hey, this is spelled wrong, or, like, check this, and it's so helpful. It's so helpful, because other people would just be like, oh, wow, like, so Francisco doesn't know how to spell,
right?
But Vince is like, yep, here we go. And it's just I appreciate it. But
while we're shouting out episodes, go listen to the Strengths Finder episodes. That's my input in restorative themes at work.
Oh yeah,
dude, there you go. Absolutely.
Wow,
I love bringing in strengths in literally every conversation. People, yeah. We know this, yeah. But
also, if you want more of me, they shouted me out in that first episode.
We did, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
The Vince Lombardi, we did, yes.
That's great. I don't think I knew you yet at that point. That's insane.
So, I think it was right after our trip. Regardless.
Yeah,
so...
Sorry, where were you?
Yeah.
You were talking about... choosing balls.
Yeah, to respond to that idea of, like, just knowing how much the idea made you just uncomfortable, and then you leaned into it anyways. The idea of freedom that connects with it that I wanted to talk about was just, like, then... like, the effect afterwards. Like, you realize you're okay. More of that discomfort was totally in your head and not really at all, in a sense, connected to reality. Maybe a couple people judged you or were like, wow, why does Vince look like that? But it didn't change anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, like, no, there's so much more growth here than there would be if I just, you know, sat on the sidelines and decided not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the freedom... then we experience there definitely can translate into the spiritual life. Because there are so many things in the spiritual life that are uncomfortable and that people look at and be like, you're freaking weird, dude. Like, right. Why would you do that? The idea of, you know, Jesus freak.
Yeah.
Like, that's, in a sense, I feel like that's almost what this is. Like,
yeah.
Like, the pizza cake is like Jesus freak, you know?
Right.
And the saints, most people thought they looked insane.
Yeah.
And that's what love of Jesus should really... bring us to is a point that almost looks insane,
right?
And I see that strong connection here. And like, I remember when you told me, like, I can't get it out of my head. I'm going bald. I'm like, Vince, that's insane. And you're like, I know. That's why I'm doing it. I'm like, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
You actually looked, I thought, a lot better than I was expecting.
Me too. But yeah, and that's the crazy thing we were saying about it too. About, okay, what happened afterward? Well, now. I no longer, you know, I've been bought, I've been there. I don't feel the need to do it anymore, which that's cool, but our life's about a lot more than relieving urges. But it's, I, now it's like, if there's a reason I need to shave bald, that's not a barrier anymore. I've been there, I've done it.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to do it anymore, but I'm willing to if the time arises, and that's powerful. And I think that's because people ask me a lot, actually, these days, are you ever going to go bald again? And I'm like, if a situation calls for
you
it.
You could.
I have this weird fantasy of me in, like, 10 or 15 years mentoring this younger guy, and he's struggling with something, and for some reason, I'm like, we both got to go bald together. But that's just some... I don't even need to expand on that. But
yeah. real quick, I just love the idea that you said, I mean, just, I guess this is kind of the... general theme, which is, you said, if it's not sinful, then you should feel open to trying it out,
right?
Which I kind of love, because it's with the particularly like going bald thing, there's so many things like that, going like shaving your head, like dressing in some unique way, trying unique foods, just doing things that people might label as weird, that like there's almost like a what do you call it? Like, what's like a rule for what's socially acceptable. And so much so, and it's so kind of strongly enforced in some kind of communities or even friend groups that, like, if somebody does something out of the ordinary or, like, does something maybe unattractive, like shaving their head, people are like, oh, you can't do that. Like, no, why would you ever do that? Like, it's, like, absolutely, like, almost like a universal law. You don't do that. And yet, if you look at it, you're like, it doesn't go against the true moral law. Like, it's not sinful in any way. In fact, in this case, it might be an opportunity for humility. It might help you grow in virtue. So it's like, it almost makes you want to question, if something's not sinful, then why do we take so seriously all these kind of socially imposed laws about that you can or can't do them, right? Like with that, like yeah. Shaving, like a lot of people, if they look at a guy who just shaved his head, they're like, oh, that was crazy. That was a terrible thing for him to do. It's like, well, it's not morally bad. So why do you feel so strongly that it's out of the question as a life decision?
I think other people being willing to be uncomfortable also makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they know then that, like, oh,
makes them self-aware.
That person has more grit than I do.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah. And like being, being embarrassed on someone else's behalf.
Oh, yeah. Secondhand, like, embarrassment.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like what? Like, oh, I feel cringy. I feel creepy. Like, but that person doesn't seem to care. They should just care.
Yeah.
Oh, instead of making me feel bad, I'll just tell them they shouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt a little bit uncomfortable when I heard you say you decided to shave your head, because yeah. I'm like, I've thought,
oh,
about,
bro,
that.
You shave your head?
Yeah. I've thought about, like, what if I shave my head?
I would never see
and
that.
I would hate that. I couldn't stand to do that. Just because I have way too much hair right now. But, like...
And you like it too much.
No, maybe. I don't know. But the point is like, that's just really admirable. But I'm seeing what Francisco says, that, like, when other people aren't afraid to do things that are uncomfortable, it makes the rest of society feel uncomfortable for them. But, sorry, we're getting yeah. off from your focus, though.
I want to hear more, Vince.
You're the pizza cake philosopher.
Yes.
Along the lines of what you were saying, I had this experience with someone recently. It was crazy. We were at a prison retreat.
Yeah.
I'd never done anything like that before. I was just there to... they had a closing ceremony that they invited people from the community to come to participate in, and I guess it means a lot to the residents there and stuff, and which was really cool. I've been interested in something like that for years, and this is my first time getting into it. But anyway, you go through security, and we had to sit in this room for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I met this woman, and I didn't know her at all, really. The only sense in which I knew her before this was that she's the wife of a family friend, that they're newly remarried and such. And so this is, for all intents and purposes, my first encounter with someone. But I started going off on this pizza cake thing to her there, and it was
so
much fun. Yeah.
That's wild.
And it was another evidence, too, of how catchy this idea is and part of why I like it, because I'll come right back to where I just started and why I brought that up. But something I really like about the pizza cake idea and why I call it pizza cake is that, one, it's kind of fun to say.
Yeah,
it is. There's a certain catchiness to it. And it's one of those, I think it's a really good entrance point to start talking about uncomfortable, because for most people, when they first hear it, it's a really uncomfortable thing at first. Ugh, that sounds horrible, or what are you talking about? And it's a point to say, what's this? And it wasn't so bad, and it's just food, and people can easily forget about it if they want, but then you can escalate things past there and talk about more challenging ideas from there.
Right.
And I think using phrases like pizza cake, I just had a pizza cake moment, or something like that, gives us a language with which to talk about our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Back to this woman that I met. Yeah, she told me, she was basically talking about when we have bad emotions that we have and stuff, and saying that there are plenty of times when you should not be hiding those from other people, and that the point of you having those might be just so that other people around you are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, that's really interesting.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. And so that's really starting to meld into these kinds of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the whole idea, when you're presented with an opportunity for a pizza cake moment, the really big thing that I want to encourage is thoughtfulness. Thinking about, why am I doing this? Because I don't want people to just be like, oh, I'm uncomfortable, I'm plunging in. I want people to be like, I'm uncomfortable. Why am I uncomfortable right now? And to think about that, and if you can't come to a reason why you're uncomfortable, you shouldn't do what you're uncomfortable about, because there might be genuinely something wrong with it and you just haven't rooted it out. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's just, you might hurt someone and don't realize it. For example, you were just talking about cultural norms and group expectations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of circumstances in which, yes, there's no reason not to buck these things, if only just to have some fun or something like that. But, or they might even be corrupt, etc. But there's also those times when you might mess something up because you, for lack of ignorance or presence of ignorance or something like right. that. I had this really silly moment. I keep talking about food because, again, I love... Food's a big part of everyone's lives, but I don't know. It's a special thing for me.
Right.
But I was at this conference at Notre Dame University a couple years ago, and we were in their big dining hall, and there's all these people, and they're walking around serving wine to people while we're eating and stuff like that. And there's this dude who was a St. Vincent graduate, probably about 10 years older than me or something. He was sitting next to me. I had just met him at this meal, and I was drinking some wine, and I looked over at the person to my left. I just had this silly idea in my head, and I was like, hey, what if I just pour the rest of my coffee in this wine? And
what?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because like, I wanted to mess with the guy next to me.
You didn't know this guy?
No.
That's insane.
And
so what did he say?
That's the funny part. So she was like, yeah, do it.
Whoa.
So then I poured the coffee into the wine right while I was making eye contact with him while I did it.
I can just see that.
Yeah, and I just started drinking it. And no reaction at all. I think he didn't notice, or maybe he just did a really good job keeping a straight face, or maybe he secretly does that himself.
But that's wild.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. But my point in bringing that up is that I had to analyze things for a moment before I even suggested it to the person next to me, and I understand the norm that coffee and wine is not something that you mix,
right.
And understand how he might react to me doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Where if I have no idea, maybe if I go into, I don't know, a very foreign culture from my own, for example, I'm not just going to start mixing things together and stuff because I want to respect the traditions and what's going on there. Yeah. And so I think that's another very just simple way of understanding all of this. Yeah. But yeah, I think, so again, going up to the other extreme of, okay, now we're way past food and we're talking about all these experiences across our lives. Complete and radical openness to God. You know, I don't know when I might be asked to shave my head, right? I don't know when God might ask me to sacrifice my son.
Mm. Whoa.
Do you think that was a pizza cake moment?
You mean for Abraham?
Yeah.
We just, like, shifted.
That's crazy.
So hard.
Okay, I'm just thinking about Kierkegaard now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I love that passage.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, I love Kierkegaard. Anyway.
Wow. Yeah, well, because with Kierkegaard, right, it's like that. There's that whole idea that there's you and the decisions that you can make, and then there's the absolute, the moral absolute, which is God. And then in between, we mediate our decisions between our relationship between us and God through kind of these universal laws and these kind of like, this is how you do things, these almost group expectations. But as he says, like, you know, if the moral absolute, if God asks you to do something,
it trumps all of that.
It trumps all of it. You no longer mediate it through some law. You just radically conform yourself to the absolute. And so it sounds a little bit like an extreme case of pizza cake is the example of Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham, for all intents and purposes, thought he was going to have to kill his son. Mm-hmm. And yet he radically conformed to that command just because, maybe partly because it made him uncomfortable and that was the proof that it was a great sacrifice, but also because that's just what he felt demanded of him. I think that's crazy, though, that what you're talking about is almost a small-scale version of that.
Yeah.
You see a connection there between,
absolutely.
Shaving your head and sacrificing Isaac. That's
right.
That's wild.
They're a little bit different. So that's where I want to walk with people and build them all the way up to this point. Yeah. And it starts out in all these little things, you know. Maybe I'm really uncomfortable with hugging people, but I'm going to hug you when I see you. And maybe I'll be ready to hug you when I, not just an option, but maybe when it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're really grieving and the best thing that I can give you right now after a prayer is a hug.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I haven't been practicing hugging you, I really might not be ready for that.
Yeah.
And I might make it weird and make things about me or something like that.
Sure.
Because I'm so focused on, I guess I hug you right now.
Yeah.
And so it's just all these things like that. I think I'm going to open up a passage from John.
I can hold your mic for a second if you need.
Thank you. I think something that really, a verse that embodies max level pizza cake
Max level.
Max level unlocked.
Is John 12:27. This is Jesus in Gethsemane. This is not in Gethsemane. Yes, it is. He's talking about his death, and he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." And I think that's at the end of the road for all of us, hopefully, that this path of embracing this comfort and all this stuff, shout out another podcast episode, comes to embracing suffering, and that that's ultimately what this is all about. And
yeah.
There's few things more uncomfortable than suffering.
Dude, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and in a way, right, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. In a way, it seems like your idea of pizza cake and these pizza cake moments, and then leading people to like stronger and stronger ascent to the will of God and radical openness is really a transformation of the will, the will of like a self will, and only choosing that which fulfills me, that which I enjoy, or that which you know I am comfortable with doing. Doing truly the will of God,
right.
Which, you know, and I was talking about this yesterday, but often comes with no explanation and no reason necessarily for the things that God asks us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if our will is not trained to just do the uncomfortable without necessarily having a fantastic reason behind it, because
mm-hmm.
if we give ourselves, I think, a strong enough reason to do something uncomfortable, it makes it slightly easier.
Yeah.
But if we don't have the absolute explanation for it, other than like, I think I need to lean into the uncomfortability, lean into the suffering. If we can grow into that, then like, I came here for this hour. Like that, then reaching our goal is,
yeah,
I came here for my cross. Like, and that's why embracing the cross or embracing whatever we have been asked to do is clearly the most uncomfortable thing we're going to do.
Yeah.
Whatever cross we have been given is absolutely
by definition the cross is the thing that causes you discomfort, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's subjective.
So in a way, your philosophy of pizza cake is like how to get people to understand that carrying their cross is in fact the way and only way to reach like a true open relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that it's a sort of seamless transition between applying that idea of being adventurous with, you know, small things. It could be like just trying out foods, mm-hmm. like pizza cake that sound weird, or trying shaving your head, how that transitions seamlessly into following God. Like, I think that that's what's really cool about this philosophy, is that it's not like a hard and fast compartmentalized lifestyle where you're like, oh yeah, over here I'm going to be adventurous with my eating habits, and then over here I'm not going to be adventurous with my conformity to God's will. But it's like the one leads into the other. And it, just the idea that you've been describing kind of reminds me of when I was working at a summer camp last year, and they had this kind of message that they shared with us as counselors about how we should approach working with the kids that we had. We were working with kids between like the ages of like elementary school and high school, and when we were doing outdoor activities with them, they said, we want to encourage kids to live in what they called their stretch zones. So they identified kind of three zones that a person can feel when they're doing an activity. One is just your comfort zone, like the things you're totally comfortable doing, you would do with anybody, you do it by yourself. It's just your kind of your normal life. Then the other extreme is what they call the panic zone, which is that's the things that just make you freak out. You have absolutely no sense of comfort there, and you kind of just want to disengage. But they said in between there, there's what you call your stretch zone, which you still have some comfort in it, right? So it's not totally in your panic zone, but it pushes you a little bit outside your comfort zone in such a way that you're able to grow without doing damage to yourself. So like just a like concrete example would be if we were doing rock climbing with the kids. Say there's a kid who he's totally comfortable climbing up 10 or 12 feet, like, you know, when he's rock climbing. Well, that 10 or 12 feet then is his comfort zone. Now, say he's totally freaked out or would like just lose his mind if he was 100 feet off the ground. Well, then 100 feet, that's his panic zone. But maybe in between there, where you can find some happy medium, like maybe 40 or 50 feet, where he's being pushed outside of his comfort zone. So he's growing, he's learning to persevere, and he's learning some virtues, but he's not going so far as to be in his panic zone. And I just think that that's like that's kind of maybe along the lines of what you're describing, which is like you should push yourself beyond what's comfortable, not like just willy-nilly kind of just do crazy things just like without any sense of prudence, but you should expand the realm of what you're comfortable with, and that way it leads into expanding your virtue, right?
100%, yeah. My hope is that people doing this kind of thing, maybe they continue to have fun with food things,
right,
long past mm-hmm. it being uncomfortable,
yeah.
But my hope is that you quickly, all right, food's not a big deal for me anymore. Yeah. What else is uncomfortable and keep going? And just to be, I've been talking about food so much, and again, it's very easy and accessible, and we all experience it every day. But something else we experience every day is prayer, right? Mm-hmm. How many times am I, I'm so tired right now, I want to go to bed. No, you still have to pray right now.
Yeah.
Or I'm really uncomfortable sharing this with God right now because I don't want to think about the implications of what just happened to me or mm-hmm. or how I've been treating my relationship with God lately and stuff
right.
like
mm-hmm.
that. To relationships, whether it's asking someone out, talking about things. I think Pizza Hut philosophy is so helpful, especially in like committed romantic relationships and stuff like that. Because so many times I see so many marriages and stuff where people just don't talk about things and just have this culture within of just sweeping things under the rug.
Yeah, because it would be uncomfortable to address them.
Yeah, there's so much avoidance behavior that we just almost just that's acceptable in our culture and stuff. And then Pizza Cake says no.
No, sir.
Let's bring this to the forefront.
Mm.
You have to do it in a charitable way, of course. But but what's going on here?
Exactly.
And
it seems like in those kind of situations, the very fact that it causes you discomfort is probably a hint that it's something you should be seeking out. Right?
Yes. Yes. I think the goal for the mature pizza caker is is to
pizza caked up. Yeah.
Is to be in a place where you don't let uncomfortable things just go past you. Maybe you don't deal with it right then, but I'm going to write this down for later,
mm-hmm.
or this is a good item for prayer today.
Mm-hmm. As we kind of wrap up here, just something I want to speak into, just like for you, Vince, like personally, being able, like having the joy of being able to see Vince working campus ministry, seeing Vince all of his 4 years of college and to his graduation, like. There is like a clear change in who you are in that sense. Like your openness in all of these other experiences has for you translated also to your experience of prayer. We have lots of good conversations. But even as I've seen you talk with other people or just kind of been a fly on the wall or like hear you talking to other people in the background, just the way you've been able to describe your like ongoing growth in relationship with Christ and the things that you enter into prayer or the experiences you've been willing to do or that you brought other people into just kind of shows to me that you're not resting in that, like, I am okay here. Like, this is good enough. And actually, that's something in the catechism. It talks about, like, it would be good enough if, for as far as Jesus' redemption. Like, it'd be good enough if, you know, he healed all those people and gave them an example of, like, loving mercy. It would be good enough if he taught us a new moral law. It would be good enough if so many different things, but none of that was good enough for him. Like the cross was what was the final
end. Above and beyond.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that like your growth in these last 4 years is like this is good, but it's not good enough. Like, they keep on going. So I'm very encouraged, very excited for Vince to go into his next phase into the world because, think they're quite ready for Pizza Cake to come take its wave and storm, but it's going to be fantastic. The Vince Lombardi people is coming.
The Vince Lombardi, prophet of Pizza Cake. What's so cool to me about this philosophy of Pizza Cake is that it seems to foster a spirit of boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like just that confidence that you're describing of just being like, I feel uncomfortable with this. Instead of running from it, I'm just going to run towards it and embrace it. Like, that's so good for boosting confidence and boosting personal courage. And I think courage. That's what especially men need nowadays,
mm-hmm.
is just to, we get so comfortable and so lax, and we get very habituated to running from discomfort. But if you can, like, if we can all just be a little bit more pizza caked up and sorry, and recognize that we should run towards those opportunities for discomfort, like you were saying. Like, it turns us more into people like Vince Lombardi. I haven't gotten to be around you as much as Francisco has, but like, you just seem like somebody who's full of life because you're bold. Like, you just do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your life more interesting. It makes it more interesting for everybody else.
That is,
whenever I hear about stuff you do, I'm like, that's crazy. That's so weird, but that's so cool.
That is so true. Once we finally get like our like merch line and t-shirt line off the ground, I would love if you let Pizza Cake get like its own like brand t-shirt. Just like either a slice of pizza with a cake on top and nothing else, or just like have you tried Pizza Cake? Just like that question. Yeah. And people are like, what does that even mean?
That could be so cool.
Yeah. Or just like Pizza Caked Up, like something like that. Or like, push this button, and it has like a little green for like a pizza cake experience. It's like, okay, whoop, and you're like, let's go.
Allow me to share with you.
All right, we're gonna shave your head. Like, what?
Oh, that's wild. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, yeah, dude, I appreciate you so much for being here. For sharing your like philosophy and your growth with us.
I appreciate you explaining Pizza Cake to me, because I've heard about this mysterious pizza cake for a long time. So. That's fire.
Yeah, you guys are such a gift to me. Thank you.
Oh, of course. So, for all of you who are listening and watching, if you're like, what, that sounds crazy, I should do that, go and do it and share in the comments below what your pizza cake experience is, or what your something you're uncomfortable with that you're like going to try and break through that discomfort, and what that pizza cake moment was. Like, I think that would be great just to hear some of that.
Exactly.
Stories. I was going to say the same exact thing.
Oh, dude. Let's freaking go, or dude.
Just drop a comment if you try pizza cake.
Yes.
Like, I'm genuinely not...
Yeah, a thumbs up for everyone who's tried pizza cake, if you're going to try it.
I love that. We'll do that. Okay. And at the next possible opportunity, I'm going
to try. We were so close. I told Vince... I told Vince I would really to try... having pizza cake on this episode.
Oh, that would have been awesome. We had like a platter brought in while we were in the middle. Have you tried it?
I have not, actually. Okay, but I have to do it with him. Yeah. So we have some days left. We're going to have like
DoorDash
a 2-minute
pizza and DoorDash some cake.
We're going to have a 2-minute segment video of just us rating pizza cake.
That'd be so good.
Let's do it.
We can all like take a bite at once and like you can get our honest reactions.
I agree. Had pizza today. We should have brought. Anyways. Okay. Thank you all for joining. This has been All Good in the Brotherhood with Brother Francisco, Nate Whitaker, and the one and only Vince Lombardi, founder and trademark owner of Pizza Cake Philosophy.
Patent pending.
Yes.
Go eat some pizza cake.
Exactly.
Peace.
Thanks so much, friends.
Adios.